this morning's press conferences with Jenny Hamlin, our most recent race winner and driver of the number 11 Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Jenny, congrats on the win last week in Martinsville. We'll go right ahead, open it up for questions. If you have one, we will get a mic over to you. We'll start down here with Jeff.
How's the calculus change for team owners when you're trying to balance partnerships with changing the colors, changing the schemes, logos, stuff like that for the throwback region?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds good in theory, but you know, truthfully, these guys are trying to find a reason to get a return on their investment. And so when you kind of change their logo or maybe change their colors and stuff, it doesn't really line up with what they want. So it's just sponsor-driven sport. What do you want me to say? I don't know. So there's nothing else to it. I mean, watching the Xfinity cars, it's like, oh, they're awesome, right? Because they don't have as many sponsors, and so they can kind of do whatever they want to do. So it's cool to see from their standpoint. But, yeah, on the Cup side, it's going to be really tough going forward.
Over here to John, and then to Reed, and then to Jordan.
John Newby, Savage Ventures. So I was curious, looking forward as a team owner, when NASCAR starts inevitably planning for the next car down the road, are we forever in this spec car box?
I'm not really sure. I don't know where the next car goes. As far as I know, there's no development on any kind of new car that I'm aware of. So, truthfully, not sure. Not sure where it goes.
Go to Reed, then to Jordan, and then to Mike.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. You won last year's spring race at Bristol, which was an unusual race, to say the least. And you came back in the fall, had a very different race. What are your expectations going into that race this year?
I think that was just kind of an anomaly. We thought it was temperature. We thought it was all kinds of different things. But truthfully, there's something that was different. And so, don't know really what it was, but I would expect that we would have the normal Bristol where tires don't wear that much. If it's the same tire, temperatures look to be up. And so I would say that we would have kind of the normal Bristol that we've had most of the time.
Come down here to Jordan, and then to Mike, then to Trenton in the back.
You drive for a Toyota team, you own a Toyota team, with tariffs and news and everything. I'm wondering if there's any concern or anything, or are you looking ahead a little bit about cost and skyrocketing?
What was the first part?
The tariff part? The tariffs on news? And so from a Toyota perspective, are you worried about rising costs and things of that nature?
As a team owner, yeah. There's vendors that are saying that they're going to have to raise their prices, and again, the cost of next gen itself has gotten so high in general. I'm sure it's going to fall on the teams, like you would think.
Come down here to Mike.
Mike Henry, Auto League. We're a couple of months out from the start of the in-season tournament, but I want to ask you about that. Obviously been a big proponent of that concept. How do you expect the fans to react to that? And it looks like an ideal setup for more gambling to get into NASCAR's one-on-one matchups and the bracket system and all that. Do you expect to get a bump from that too?
You hope so. I mean, that's the kind of the general reason that you create these extra storylines, right, is to try to get some more casual race fans that, it's kind of a lull in other sports. You create these one-on-one matchups, the TV, and maybe there's a simulcast that is really kind of focused on those matchups and stuff. That really gets your sports better that is, again, just in the lull of the season with only MLB going on. It gets them kind of the juice that they're looking for at that time of the year. So you hope that that has the effect that everyone's hoping for. But beyond that, certainly, I think it'll be worth it just in the storylines alone.
We're going to go in the middle to check. Trenton, and behind him to Eddie.
Denny Trenton Worsham, FrenchRush.com. You're a late mall guy. You grew up in the grassroots era back then and stuff, and you're coming up. What have you seen from these younger drivers, you know, coming up from that all the way up to what we saw last weekend? Where did the sport kind of, I guess, go wrong, if you will, with the driving habits? Is it the points? Is it the them feeling invincible with the safety of the cars? And after that, being a late mall guy, what's your reaction to the cars tour being on FS1?
As far as the first part, you know, I don't know. It really just went through a change, you know, a decade or so ago, certainly. I think, you know, the format had a little bit something to do with it where, you know, you can be terrible all season and just win a race and all of a sudden your season is saved. I think that played a little bit of a role in it. You know, then there's other things, right, that the Xfinity Series is primarily made of pay drivers. You know, without pay drivers, I don't know if that series truthfully exists. So it's just that's reality. It's not popular and no one here will like it, but that's just the reality. And so it's just where we're at. And then eventually, you know, they make it in the Cup if they're good enough. And so it's just, I don't know, it's just different. Lots of sports are different than what it used to be a long time ago. But that's where we're at today. But as far as the Cars Tour getting on FS1, certainly is really good for them. And, you know, really proud to see what that tour has done and certainly how much growth it's had over the last couple of years. And certainly the way they run it is very well organized. I wished it, you know, it would have been around back in my day of late model racing. You know, we had a kind of a traveling tour, but it was nothing like the Cars Tour and as well organized as it is, and certainly didn't pay as well. So it's they're really doing a great job promoting that series.
We're going to go behind him to Eddie, and then down here to Zach, Dustin, and Claire.
Hey, Danny, Eddie Kalecki, Motorsports Today. When you think back to earlier in your career, it felt like a talking point whenever you came here was the Darlington stripe, and you don't want to get damage in the car. And obviously, the next-gen car is a bit different, and you look back at Miami a couple weeks ago, and Kyle Larson was practically touching the wall every lap. So how has the approach kind of changed for you in terms of driving here and using the wall to your advantage driving next-gen?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that it has changed over time. I think as time has gone on, you've seen everybody's so good at running the wall now or running close to it that, you know, typically I think you can find good cars and good drivers that can make time off the wall. It used to be because not many people ran right on it for such a extended period of time that if you could just run within a few inches of it, you would get into better asphalt than others. Now everyone kind of runs so close to the wall that you're only getting the aero effect. But here at this track, the speeds aren't as high, so you don't get as big of a benefit running right on the wall as you do at somewhere like Homestead that has higher corner speeds. So I don't think the wall has as big of an advantage as it used to have, but it is still, you know, typically the fastest lane around here. But I think if you have a car that or a driver that saves his tires a little bit more, you can have enough disparity in speed to make passes elsewhere.
Come down here to Zach, and then to Dustin.
Zach Albert, NASCAR.com. Danny, do you have like a natural confidence when you come here, given your track record, and is there maybe even a little bit more confidence boost coming off a win last week and potentially build some momentum towards that?
Certainly. I mean, I think, you know, last week was a great week for the team, no doubt about it, and get a win early, just start to get some playoff bonus points. That's always a great thing. But when we come here, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I know what I need out of the car. I'll know within the first few laps of practice whether it's got the it that it needs to be good. And if not, we'll go to work on it. But the confidence I have is knowing exactly what I need at this track. I know how to enter the corner, know how to exit it, know how much gas and brake to apply. To make good speed here. So it's just a matter of whether the car is working correctly on that day. And if it isn't, we can get it pretty close usually.
We'll go to Dustin here in the middle and Claire.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. With the Robin Hood sponsorship, I guess Clutch Sports was involved in the
sport. It's actually done a lot of things behind the scenes with the sport for quite some time now. I've done some appearances for them in the past. So it's good to really kind of bring them in and really have kind of that leaf now going to be on the hood of a car is fantastic. So just a great brand to bring in, and hopefully we can get them the value they're looking for.
And I'm just curious, just obviously with Michael's involvement, but just any further tie-ins with NBA sponsors or anything like that, or now 3 years in and having more success, is that opening doors, or is that or is it opening doors to different
things? Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think that certainly Michael's brand and things like that attracts a lot of different companies and whatnot to be associated, but this one is not directly brought through Michael or his group. It was more of an agency thing, so it all came together really nicely. But certainly any brands that you see kind of promoting, they got a big deal in Memphis on the NBA side. Robin Hood does, so they're just kind of now exploring the NASCAR space.
We're going to go to Claire and then wrap with Holly.
Claire Beeline, I wanted to ask about confidence, too, because those of us in the deadline room see you as a human being, but those that are fans sometimes see you and they can't imagine you could ever lack confidence. And it takes a lot, even if you're a veteran, to have confidence in this sport. Did you feel like for your team it's such a big deal that this confidence spreads to them now? Do you ever feel like, oh, I haven't won, and I'm beating myself in the chest? Because people don't see that side of you.
Well, I think it's always good to question your confidence, because it forces you to look at yourself to figure out, did you do everything that you're capable of doing for the team? Are you constantly working on your craft? You should always second guess yourself, I believe, if you're a NASCAR driver, because things evolve, and we constantly go through aero changes, tire changes, car changes, track changes, and so are you adapting quickly to that? So confidence is a great thing, and it's very beneficial, but there's times you need to question whether you should do things different or evolve your craft, because I think it's important to getting better. No.
We'll take one last question from Holly in the corner.
Holly in the corner. I wanted to ask you, is it safe to say, or is it even true anymore? They used to say Darlington was really a place where veterans kind of did well, that's who fared well. Do you feel like you have an advantage because you've raced through so much and done so well, or is that not really the case anymore?
The sport is so week to week, it's hard to say that, but you can't argue with the results. I would say that certainly it lends itself to the best drivers, best teams, all those things, right? I think it's a great combination of, you've got to have everything. You've got to have good mechanical grip here. You have to have good aerodynamic. And the driver has to be really good with his craft that I talked about, just understanding when to push, when to not, understanding the length of the race. Even though this is a 400, it's still grueling. I think Darlington, is by far one of the most grueling racetracks that you can go to, simply because, it's going to be a warm one this weekend. It's going to be mentally taxing, knowing that you've got to hit your marks just perfect at this track. And then just, the mental side of it, knowing that you got 35 of those guys there that's not there to let you win. And it's really hard to navigate that. It's a track that you can't get away from others. Usually at other mile and a half or tracks of this size, the track is wide enough to where if you want to go get clean air, you can probably go get it. And here, there's just no escaping it. And so it's really, really hard to get runs, make passes on people. And it just takes its toll, or it has for me, on my body and mind every time I race here. But as far as the veteran side, I think that certainly it seems like those that have had lots of experience with this track, I think it goes back to the question earlier, more than likely it's the guys that have been successful because they know that feel that they need to be fast here, and they continue to replicate it.
All right, Denny, thanks for your time today, and good luck this weekend. For the media here in the room, we're going to go ahead and open the bullpen. As you can see, there's a lot of drivers and a little bit of space. Drivers are going to be placed around the room. Please just go up to whomever you need to speak with. Again, reminder, it's going to close when practice starts and reopen during qualifying.